Welcome to Prophecy Viewpoint Audio Studies. I am Rachel Corey Keel. Our study for today concerns the Book of Life. The Book of Life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Daniel 12, verse 1. And at that time your people shall be delivered, every one who is found written in the book. Revelation 21, verse 27, speaking of the holy city, New Jerusalem. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Isaiah chapter 4, verse 3, and it will come about that he who is left in Zion and remains in Jerusalem will be called holy, everyone who is recorded for life in Jerusalem. Recorded for life, for eternal life. The Book of Life is central to the topic of the judgment because those persons whose names are retained in the Book of Life will enter the city of God, the New Jerusalem, and those whose names are not finally found written in the book will die the second death, spirit death, in the lake of fire. That's Revelation 20, verse 15. What is this book? How is a name entered into this book? When is a name entered into this book? Was my name entered at the moment of my birth or even farther back at my conception? Was it entered into the book way back at the foundation of the world? Or was it entered on the day that I entered into covenant with God the Father through Jesus Christ? We must always return to the model, the experience of Israel. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 19 to 24 mentions the Book of the Covenant. Israel stood at the foot of Mount Sinai, and the Lord spoke to Israel all the Ten Commandments. And Israel said with one voice, all that the Lord has said, we will do. They entered into a covenant. Later on, they broke that first covenant, and Moses went up the mountain to receive a second set of tablets, same commandments. And it says, when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water, scarlet wool, and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you. Then likewise he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. That was Hebrews chapter 9, verses 19 to 24. Continuing, therefore, it was necessary that the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these. In other words, with the blood of animals. But the heavenly things with better sacrifices than these, with the blood of Jesus Christ. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, like the Wilderness Tabernacle, like the Temple at Jerusalem, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. If my name is written in heaven, then the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed my name in that record. The book of the covenant in the tabernacle, in the temple, was a copy of another book in heaven itself. The copy purified with the blood of calves and goats, the book in heaven purified with the blood of Yeshua Messiah, Jesus Christ. All the people of Israel were sprinkled with the blood of the covenant. In other words, it was a blood covenant, which meant you violate this covenant, you die. That's what it meant. That's what a blood covenant was. It was a death covenant. Jesus Christ died, so the people who entered into that covenant and broke that covenant with repentance didn't have to. Exodus chapter 32, verses 31 to 33. Then Moses returned to the Lord and said, "These people have committed a great sin and have made for themselves a god of gold. Yet now, if you will forgive their sin, but if not, I pray, blot me out of your book, which you have written." So Moses was fully aware of that book. He was so distraught because of Israel's sin that he said, if you're going to blot their names out of your book, then please just blot mine out too. He was aware that all the names were written in a book in the heavenly realm. The Lord said to Moses, "Whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book." The Lord would blot out the names of those who forsake the covenant without repentance. Without repentance. Without bringing a sin sacrifice. Honestly, sincerely, and humbly. Seeking forgiveness. Psalms chapter 69, verse 28. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not written with the righteous. Psalm 69, verse 28. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous. Speaking here of the wicked. King David was aware of this book, which contains the names of the righteous. The righteous are said to be living, inferring the wicked are dead, or at least doomed to be dead. When Jesus said, "Let the dead bury their dead," in Matthew 8, verse 22, he was speaking of those who are dead in the hardness of their hearts, dead in spirit. Paul says that we were all dead in trespasses and sin. But God has made us alive. That's Ephesians 2 verse 1 and 5 and Colossians 2 verse 13. He who has the Son has eternal life abiding in him. That's 1 John 5 verses 12 and 13. He is therefore alive in the sight of God. So you can be dead in the sight of God without being physically dead. Because only those who are in Christ, who believe in the Son, who have the Son, are actually regarded as alive in the sight of God. Revelation 3 verse 5, this is Jesus speaking. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who overcomes, we overcome disbelief. Jesus will then overcome sin in us and for us because we believe. We enter into covenant with God through Christ. Don't let that word covenant throw you. Baptism is a covenant. It's an agreement between at least two parties. Marriage is a covenant. Treaties are covenants. They're agreements between at least two parties. We enter into a sacred covenant with God, and thereafter, we are to remain faithful to that covenant. If we sin, then we must avail ourselves of the remedy provided for reconciliation with God and with his covenant. That remedy is Jesus Christ. During the first covenant period, that remedy was the sacrificial system. Each sacrifice symbolized Jesus Christ. Under the new covenant, we come to the Father in the name of Yeshua, claiming his blood sacrifice on our behalf. Then we must complete our journey through the wilderness with faith, like Caleb and Joshua. Paul compares those who were lost to rebellion or to doubt to broken off branches. Because of unbelief, they were broken off. That's Romans 11, verse 20. Broken branches die because they are not drawing life from the root of the tree. The tree in Romans 11 is Israel. The root of that tree is holy. Well, the root of that tree is Jesus Christ. That's where we draw life. Just before his execution at the hand of Rome, Paul triumphantly wrote, "I have kept the faith." That's what it's all about, folks. The battle is for our faith. Luke chapter 10, verse 20, Jesus said, "Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." Rejoice. Well, if everyone's name is written in heaven at the moment of their birth, or perhaps at the moment of their conception, or maybe even at the foundation of the world, then what would there be to rejoice about? Everyone's name is in there. That's why I believe that our names are entered into the book of life when we enter into covenant, when we believe. Philippians chapter 4, verse 3, this is Paul writing, "And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life." Why would Paul use space and ink, which was very precious in his day, to state that the names of those who labored with him to spread the gospel are in the book of life? Well, saying their names are in the Book of Life is the same as saying these belong to Jesus Christ. Daniel, very Old Testament writer. Daniel 12, verse 1. The angel speaking to Daniel said, "At that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered, every one who is found written in the book." Written in the book. So Daniel, at least from that moment forward, understood there's a book. Those delivered are those written in the book. Those lost are those not written in the book. Well, Daniel's people were Israelites. They had entered into covenant with Yahweh, with Jehovah. Their names were written in the book. Some had been blotted out because they sinned against the Lord without repentance. So who are Daniel's people in the last days? Who are the saints of the last days? Who does the beast make war with? Answer, Israelites. All those who enter into covenant with God through Christ are Israelites. They are grafted in to Israel through Messiah. Those who forsake the covenant are broken off. That's our study. Who are Israel? Hebrews chapter 12, verses 22 to 23. This is speaking to believing Jews at that time. "But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect." So who are registered in heaven? Answer, the firstborn are registered in heaven. Well, God called Israel his firstborn. That's in Exodus chapter 4, verse 22. Well, how do you become an Israelite? Answer, you enter into covenant with God the Father through Jesus Christ, who will then circumcise your heart. In Revelation, the 144,000 are described as standing on Mount Zion. Here we have the writer of Hebrews saying to believing Jews, you have come to Mount Zion. And we know that all those who enter into covenant with God through Yeshua Messiah are grafted into Israel, so they also would be standing on Mount Zion. Who are the lost? Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 20 and 21. This is Moses speaking. The Lord would not spare him, for then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy would burn against that man, and every curse that is written in this book, the Book of the Covenant, would settle on him, and the Lord would blot out his name from under heaven. And the Lord would separate him from all the tribes of Israel for adversity, according to all the curses of the covenant that are written in this book of the law. Israel was promised great blessing for faithful obedience to covenant. They were also warned of terrible curses should they forsake that covenant without repentance. The blessings and the curses were written in the Book of the covenant that all of Israel agreed to, the covenant that we today, believers today, agree to when we become grafted into Israel, when we enter into covenant with God through Yeshua Messiah. Ancient Israelites were warned that should they forsake the covenant without repentance, they would be cut off from the people, and their names would be blotted out from under heaven. Cut off from the people and blotted out of the book appear to be equivalent terms. The Day of Atonement was Judgment Day for Israel and for the mixed multitude in the yearly cycle of the feast days commanded by the Lord. That ancient prophecy, the feast days were prophecies. Each feast day pointed to a significant event or work of Jesus Christ. That ancient Day of Atonement prophecy will be fulfilled at the very end of this age. That's our study in ancient prophecy and our study millennium. A register of every citizen of Israel, a book in other words, was kept in the temple. And remember, the tabernacle slash later temple was a copy of what was in heaven itself. If a man was cursed of God, his name would be blotted out of that register. The name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, Yeshua Messiah, would have been blotted out from that register by the priests who controlled the temple in his day. He was believed to have been cursed of God. Ahaziah, Joash, Amaziah were idolatrous kings who died violent deaths. The record is 2 Chronicles chapter 22, verses 3 and 4, 2 Chronicles chapter 24, verses 17 and 19, and 2 Chronicles 25, verse 14. Their names were blotted out of the register of Israel. And likewise, the name of Jehoiakim is missing from the genealogy of Joseph. In Matthew's gospel, Jehoiakim was cursed of God. It's interesting, I think, that many of the curses listed in Deuteronomy bear a serious resemblance to the seven last plagues of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, everyone on earth will worship the image of the beast, except those whose names are found in the book of life belonging to the Lamb, who was slaughtered before the foundation of the world was founded. That doesn't mean that that was the moment when the Son of God died physical death. It means that was the time that he committed himself to that course of events. He committed himself to die that death. That's why the book says he was slaughtered from the foundation of the world. God knew that if he created beings with free will, human beings with free will, that he would have to die to finally secure them This text in Revelation is describing the condition on earth in the final days when the beast is ruling, that everyone living on earth will serve this beast except those whose names are found written in the book of life. Well, Paul told us to cooperate with governments up to the point where cooperating with the government would violate the law of God. So that tells you right there that in the last days, the beast power will demand that we break the law of God, which we cannot do. We must serve God rather than men. The book of life is the book of the Lamb, because the Lamb is the only way to the Father. That's our study, the only way. It's not enough to worship God the Father while denying His Son. It's just not enough. We enter into covenant through Yeshua Messiah. It's the only way. Jesus said, no one comes to the Father except through me. The final judgment scene in Revelation chapter 20, verses 12 to 15. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead, emphasis the dead, they're not alive, they're dead. The dead were judged according to their works by the things which are written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades, which was the abode of the dead, delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. Well, that means everyone who was in death and Hades is cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I should pause here and just make a comment that in Revelation, I do not see a third resurrection. I see the resurrection at the glorious return, and I see a second resurrection 1,000 years later at the eighth day. But this judgment is taking place at a point after the Gog-Magog rebellion. So at that point, every rebel against God is dead. I don't believe these people are raised to continue physical life. I believe they are dead. They only stand before God in the sense of the record of their life standing before God, being examined. This is closure for the saints of God. They need to look at every record of every person who is not listed in the book of life. They need to see that God the Father and His Son did everything possible to win that person, those persons, for eternal life. And those persons just refused, absolutely refused. The people to be judged in this text, in Revelation, in this great white throne judgment, They do not belong to Jesus Christ. They will be judged by their works. They will be judged by the Father without Christ as a mediator. That's 1 Peter 1, verse 17. On the other hand, Jesus said that anyone who hears him and keeps his word will not come into judgment, that they are passed from death to life. That's John 5, verse 24. So the people being examined, the record of their lives being examined in this passage, number one, they're dead. Number two, their names do not appear in the book of life. I believe that what is finally destroyed in the lake of fire is God's retained memory of those persons. I believe that at the moment of our death, that God's spirit records what is in our minds. Because at the resurrection, we receive new spiritual bodies. And then he can simply upload that information and we can be up and running. It's like your computer, you know. If I buy a brand new computer, I can download the information from this old one, turn it off, throw it on the junk pile, throw it away. And as long as I have my memory stick, then I can upload all that information into my new computer, and my new computer will work just fine with all the memory intact. Why would our God be less sophisticated than yours truly when it comes to information saving? I just don't think we need to go there, that live people will be cast into a lake of fire. The only ones who are cast alive into the lake of fire are the beast and the false prophet at the glorious return. So just to review, one's name is entered into the book of life when one enters into covenant with God through Jesus Christ. He or she then becomes an Israelite grafted in. That's Romans chapter 11. One's name will be blotted out by Christ himself if he or she has forsaken covenant without repentance. And always remember, so long as one lives, he or she may repent and return to covenant. Paul speaks of being grafted in again. Some names are never entered into the book for one of two reasons. A, because they consciously refuse to enter into covenant, or B, because they were ignorant of God and his law due to immaturity. Maybe they died as a child, or to life circumstances. They died before the missionaries could reach them. I believe the second set of people will be resurrected to continue their physical lives at the eighth millennium. They will be the rest of the dead, in from Revelation 20, verse 5. At that point, they will be educated in the things of God, and then they will be invited to enter into covenant. That's our series, The Eighth Day. We pray this study will prove a blessing. I am Rachel Corey Keel, and this is Prophecy Viewpoint. Please do rate this audio study, rate the written study, and check out the addendum that we have for the Book of Life, which is my answer to an argument by someone who believes that names were entered way back at the foundation of the world. I do not hold that view, and the addendum goes into more detail and explains why. Many blessings. Shalom.